Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on this fine Monday. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a busy week this past week, but you know, we're here and we're doing Dune Minute things, and I'm, you know, excited to pick up halfway through a word. What a cliffhanger from last week.
Man, I'm just excited to be on the ground again, dude. I feel like I've been spending so much time in the air. It's just, things are different up there, dude.
Oh my God, shut the fuck up.
You know, it's like, it's like all your worries go away.
This is your entire personality now. Go fuck yourself.
No, I haven't flying more, and it's very stressful, and I'm glad to be taking time to do this, because not that I don't have to think about this, I'm much better at this right now.
Yeah.
So, yes, I am happy to be here as well.
Your risk of dying doing this is significantly lower.
But not zero.
It's never zero.
I've seen the way your cats look at me.
The way Ada's going today, who fucking knows?
Yeah, we got a good week of minutes here. I think we should just dive right in, because we left off in an important conversation. Really the tail end of a bathtub conversation.
Yeah.
And
a dude soup, if
a
it were.
Dude soup. Ugh, gross. So Fade is finishing his threat.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
What minute are we talking about?
Oh, yes, thank you. So we're talking about minute 80 through 81.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll get the hang of it eventually.
You know, over 200 and like however many episodes in, you would think that we would have this down pat.
No.
Nah. In one ear, out the other. Every time.
Because we're not professionals.
Nope.
So Fade is finishing his threat to the Baron.
Yeah, we had, like I said at the top, we had a cliffhanger of a minute ending mid-word.
Mm-hmm. Ugh,
hate those at the end of the week.
Yep.
You know, if it's the end of a day, all right, fine. We'll come back to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But if it's the end of the week, then you got to just sit on it all weekend and just say, what the fuck is he going to say? I don't have a way that I can go watch Dune.
Nope.
Or, like, I haven't watched it before. I'll never know until the Dune Minute comes out.
That's true. Well, they make the movie minute at a time in sequential order for
us. They release
us.
It
yeah.
also daily, mm-hmm. minute at a time.
Yeah, so. I think it was nice of Denis to do that. It was real accommodating for us, at least for our format, anyways.
Clearly. I mean, is there any other way to watch a movie?
No, this is the only way. We've tried. So the word that we got cut off in the middle of was tub. That's what we were waiting on all week. Oh. Tub. You can release now, John.
Don't like the way you said that. Nope. Don't like that at all.
Sometimes I wish we had video so I could have got your face right there.
I worry about what my face looks like in situations like that, because I'm sure that was just like the what the fuck kind of look.
So the full threat.
I ought to drown you in that tub.
I ought to drown you in that tub is the full threat. And then the Baron laughs. And this seems like
He chortles.
He chortles. Is that what the subtitles say?
No, but that's just...
It seems like a genuine laugh, though. It's like...
Yeah.
We've gotten like snickers here and there from him in the past, but this seems like a genuine, like, full belly laugh.
Yeah. It just seems like... You know, Fade thinks he's all hot shit because he just, like, killed two drugged and one undrugged slaves. But, like, Vladimir still has all of the power here. Like,
yeah,
he has course. All the political pull.
So the Baron then says, don't be hasty. And his gifts aren't done. Can't remember the exact line.
Don't be hasty. I have another gift for you.
He has another.
A bigger one.
A bigger one.
Arrakis. And he says Arrakis. Like
Arrakis. He's like that friend who gets home from Spain, like a 2-week vacation Spain, and has to, you know, put a Castilian accent on everything.
Ibiza,
Barcelona.
Shut the fuck up. Just kidding to all of our Spanish listeners, because we have a couple. Huh? We love you.
Shout out. I want to go to your country one day. That would be fun.
But also, white people from America that come back and they're like, I went to Ibiza. I'm like, no, yeah, you went to Ibiza.
I don't like those people.
It's just so different over there, man. You don't understand.
And I'm like, oh, dude, I understand. Fade seems genuinely taken aback by this. Or at least like he was not expecting it.
So I don't know if you noticed this. First of all, we're going to be talking a lot about like micro emotions and like micro facial gestures this week because there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But damn if Austin Butler isn't like really good with expressive eyes that are saying a lot of things.
He's got the protruding forehead.
Well, the protruding forehead.
But I think it accentuates what he's doing.
Right. The protruding forehead isn't his, though.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
I know.
So, like, you know. But
I thought he grew it for the movie.
Oh, this whole thing. I just grew it out a little bit. No.
He Daniel Day-Lewis'd himself into this movie, and he grew the protruding forehead.
He's just sitting there, like, with his head against the wall doing, like, push-ups.
That's how committed he is to the craft.
No, but like he has a moment where he like pauses and you see his eyes dart back and forth really quick. So you can tell like he is thinking, and that Rolodex in his, you know, sociopath brain of his is just going nuts.
Yep. Calculating.
And then, you know, his only response is, what about Rabin?
Ooh, well, hang on a second. How did he say it?
He said Rabin.
Yeah, there's a little bit of twang to it. He had a little bit of Elvis. He had a little bit of Elvis still in there. He says it with an accent. It's not just a straight and level Rabin. It's
like Rabin.
Yeah, Rabin. Or, it's like halfway between how I say it and how you say it.
Yeah. And then speaking of how we say Rabin, Vladimir then says, he's failed to protect Spice Production. Rabban would be reassigned.
Maybe they don't know.
Well, hold on. No, I'm getting there.
Okay.
Let me finish though. Tame Arrakis, Fade. Free the Spice. I'll make you emperor.
Mm-hmm.
So D's on Blue Sky in a back and forth, you know, talking about how much of a piece of shit Vladimir is and how he likes to like offend just to offend. Talks about how. Or we had a conversation about how Vladimir like may intentionally mispronounce Rabin's name just to like dig at him every time. And since like Rabin isn't here.
Yeah, we've talked
about actually this. Calling him by how it's supposed to be, Rabban. In my head, it's still Rabin though.
Interesting theory.
I'm firmly hashtag team Rabin.
Well, I'm hashtag team Rabban. Good luck finding the difference in those. So, he has this little chuckle, and Rabban's going to be dead. I mean, he's going to be killed because he doesn't say he says he's going to be like what, reassigned or reassigned. Something like that. I think that is a thinly veiled euphemism for he's going to be dead.
I don't think so, just because like he is still the beast, the hammer to be wielded, just maybe not in Arrakis.
Mm. They seem,
or also just fucking dead.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They seem to have a very very much of a you fail you die kind of society. Sometimes it's not even you fail you die. It's like you're in the wrong place, the wrong time. you die. Yeah. So I think his chances of surviving failing on Arrakis pretty damn slim.
Pretty low. But also, just like our chances of dying on the Dune Minute podcast.
Never zero.
So. And then Fade begins to approach the bath, slowly taking each step down. And, you know, he's still like doing his in his head, thinking to himself kind of thing. And he has the crispest tongue click.
Mm-hmm.
Before he says, Emperor.
Yeah.
How? Vladimir's response, The emperor helped me destroy the Atreides. He lent his own army to the cause. A serious crime.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just end on Fade's face.
Yep, that's right. So after he got done explaining the plot of the first movie.
Yep.
To Fade.
Yep. Well, Fade wasn't there, so he had to catch him up.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I had some thoughts on this one. I was like, okay, one, why wouldn't the emperor, or sorry, why wouldn't the Baron want the emperor's seat?
He's too old.
Nah.
How old is he?
He's younger than the current emperor.
Yeah.
And we know, John, that age means nothing in politics.
Oh, God. Unfortunately, yes. I think Vladimir knows that he can do better on Gedi Prime doing, you know, Gedi Prime things, but also as emperor, he... Okay, so, like, the emperor has a stake in Chome, and, you mm-hmm. know, we talked about this with Chome Direct. You know, there's the whole structure where, you know, the emperor has, I think, 20% by this time ownership of Chome.
Direct control, but indirect control over 50.
Yeah. So, like, there's definitely, like, money to be made as emperor, but we know that they were bringing in millions, if not billions, of Solari. I don't remember the exact figure from part one.
10 million Solari a month or something like that. Or every something.
Every like 28 something, standard days yeah, or something yeah. like that. I feel like it was more than that. Point is, fucking, there's money to be made running mm-hmm. spice production. And I think that's where Vladimir ultimately, you know, sees his like end game is the greed from spice production.
Yeah, I could see that. I think another part of it is if Fade sits on the throne, effectively the Baron also sits on the throne.
Yeah, he's a puppet emperor because, yeah. you know, the Baron just tells him what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a good position to be in. One of, you know, influence over one of authority.
Not that we have that at all in our current political structure.
Nope, that has never happened, thankfully. I thought it was a little bit of an empty promise. So in my head, when I was watching this minute, I thought it was, you know, the Baron should want that. You know, he should want the title. You know, he should mm-hmm. want to sit there. So this was kind of a, I'm going to give this to you if you do what I want, but it's not really going to be that way. He's not really going to give it to him.
Here's the carrot I'm going to dangle so you can go exactly. be, you know, my arm on Arrakis and do all the things that I want you to, but then I'm going to stab you in the back later on.
Exactly. That yeah. seems very much in line with the Baron's character.
Yeah. But I also know that Fade wouldn't take that lying down either. Like he
no,
would
no. no.
almost certainly kill his uncle who...
Well, and this is something that the miniseries does better
yeah.
Than this. You get to see that dynamic. Like a friendly, adversarial relationship between Fade and the Baron.
Yeah, I mean, the miniseries like straight up shows, you know, Fade's attempted assassination of Vladimir.
Yeah.
And, like there's that, you know, confrontation between the two of them. I can't wait to talk about the miniseries. So.
Yeah. We're missing that dynamic a little bit here. But yeah, that's really where the minute ends, right after Serious Crime and on Fade's face. So I don't have a lot of book notes for this part of the week anyways.
I think, you know, it's worth just kind of not in the amount of depth that we had, you know, during summer school, but, you know, during our Chome, you know, summer school, we talked about the Landsrad and the Farfarluches and everything like that. So just like reiterating the understanding of like why it would be a serious crime for the emperor to have helped a greater house, you know, wipe out another greater house mm-hmm. is just because, you know, with the way that the structure and everything is there, the emperor's not supposed to be fucking with inner house politics in this place. Yeah. So like, you know, having direct influence on those rivalries, you know, we've talked about how not only is it obviously like, you know, you're directly influencing, you know, war between two houses, but you're directly influencing the economies mm-hmm. of the known universe as well.
Yep.
Which is a big no-no. So, yeah, that's why all the greater houses in the Landsrad would not be, you know, super pleased and would definitely, you know, want to address the those concerns with Shaddam.
Yeah.
And just be like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, those are all good points.
We talk about it a lot more in the summer school episode. So I would definitely, like, if you want the full breakdown, go listen to the summer school episode on Chome, because holy shit. I think that's still our longest episode to date.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, anything else from your notes on this one?
Nothing for this minute. My notes get more and more dense as the week goes on. So I think
love when that happens.
We'll just park it for now and come back tomorrow.
All right, cool.
As always, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are in several places, but on Blue Sky, we are at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode, and we'll see you then.
See ya.